Welcome to the Akeen Mind Podcast. I'm Jude, a licensed therapist and meditation teacher. This podcast explores how to reduce stress with the practice of mindfulness and meditation to help you find more joy and peace in life. Most of us struggle with stress at times and would love to find relief from the competing demands we face related to work, home, relationships, and much, much more. The typical flow of the podcast first provides about 10 to 15 minutes of a teaching on various topics related to stress and mindfulness, followed by a 10 to 15 minute guided meditation. I hope that you will tune in for the rest of the show. Enjoy. Thanks for listening. I want to begin with a story that reportedly occurred at sea. This is the transcript from communication between a U.S. Navy ship and Canadian authorities. Americans, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Canadians, we recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Americans, this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say to you again, divert your course. Canadians, no. I say again, you need to divert your course. Americans, now more sternly. This is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln. It's the second largest ship in the U.S. Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees to the north. That is 15 degrees to the north. Or countermeasures will be taken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadians, this is a lighthouse. Your call. So, this story has been debunked, and it's considered to be urban legend, but I tell the story to illustrate how easily we can become locked into seeing things a particular way. When we're really locked into our own view, it's hard to entertain other perspectives. And about 99% of the time, when we're stressed, it's because we've developed tunnel vision. We've become overly focused on the problems. So, let me share a true story of my own to help you see my point. About 15 years ago, I was living in Charleston, South Carolina. I had recently finished my master's degree, and I had begun my very first job as an outpatient therapist, starting to treat children and adolescents and their families. So I was attending an all-day family therapy conference where Salvador Mnuchin was presenting. Now, if you don't know him, Salvador Mnuchin had provided significant contributions to the field of family therapy. This was really exciting, as I had a rare opportunity to meet one of the fathers of family therapy. Dr. Mnuchin, during his conference, spent a large portion of his time fielding questions from the audience, providing answers that were very insightful, clever, and often humorous. He had the crowd roaring, laughing at times. Now, I was sitting in an audience of well over 500 attendees, and I really wanted to ask a question. I was feeling kind of apprehensive, but I wanted to connect with him. I wanted to really pick his brain a little bit. But I was pretty green at this point, but decided that I could ask a valuable question if I just took my time to write it down and review it with Chris, my colleague, who was sitting right beside me. Now, as I was formulating my question, he was teaching and exploring ways that therapists could encourage the parent to connect to the feelings of their child in efforts to begin to heal the parent-child relationship. Now, this was kind of in the context of where the parent had caused some kind of trauma, some kind of difficulty towards the child, and he was talking about therapeutic techniques to help that parent reconnect with the child, to have empathy for the child, which made sense. So I wrote down my question, and I showed Chris. I said, here, what do you think? Is that a good question? He said, yeah, seems like a good question to me. So finally, I grew the courage to raise my hand amongst a sea of people, and finally I was called on. When he did, I stood up, and I asked, what would you do to help someone who had significant trauma and conflict with a parent who was now deceased. His response to me, perhaps you can think of a less impossible question. The crowd roared in laughter. I was laughing. I sat down. I looked at my colleague. I thought, man, you really threw me under the bus. You told me this was a good question, right? We're all laughing. I'm just in a little bit of disbelief. And at that time, and for some time after the conference, I couldn't understand his response. Why couldn't he just tell me what I needed to do to help someone work through the trauma when the parent had been deceased? Now, with plenty of time to reflect on this, I noticed that instead of asking a question that would have explored more deeply what he was presenting on, I was really attempting to pull him in another direction. Maybe I was even unconsciously attempting to poke some kind of hole in his theory or teaching. Well, I was being curious. Maybe I wasn't being the most helpful to what he was attempting to illustrate or to make clear to people. His answer to me was really about observing the process about what was going on with my question. And well, at the time, I was a bit embarrassed. I have begun to see a great sense of value in his response to me. It helped me see that maybe I was being more focused on the potential problems rather than looking for the possible solutions. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, he still could have answered your question. And yes, you're right. He could have answered the question. But I'll tell you this, I think I learned so much more from his response because it really made me think and reflect. I'm happy he didn't give me the answer because there are a lot of resources out there and I was in supervision. I could get the answers. There are plenty of ways to work with clients who have gone through trauma, who have lost their parents. But that wasn't what he was trying to teach me. I think he was trying to teach me how to pay attention to the process and maybe how to consider if what I'm asking is really helpful. Is it really necessary in that moment? So maybe the next time someone is sharing some information with you, you can have this intention to be more curious, but maybe kind of in a helpful and kind way, in a way that is not attempting to focus on the potential problems with their viewpoint, but a curiosity to really want to understand more about what the person would like to be able to teach you. Think about your own perspective when you're attempting to explain something to somebody. Is it sometimes helpful if they're curious in this very non-assuming, non-judgmental way? They just kind of want to learn more. Are you able to share more or maybe even go in more depth about what you mean by what you're saying rather than having someone kind of give you this devil's advocate position? Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I respond great to that. That's when my real teaching really comes out. And sometimes I would think that that is true too. But for some people, they don't thrive on that conflict. They thrive on a sense of being supported. And when we're supporting someone in this way, it doesn't mean that we even have to be agreeing with their perspective in order to become more curious about how they're seeing things. Because when we can really become more curious, we don't get locked into telling someone they need to divert their course, right? We're not telling them how to think or what to do, but we're learning how to work with their different ideas and perspectives, and that may open up an opportunity for us to share our perspectives, especially when we've really listened to someone else. So I would encourage you to begin to think about ways that you can be mindful in daily life with your communication with other people. How can you use communication to help yourself become more conscious, more mindful, more awake in this moment? Now, this practice is not easy to do because, as you know, many people have conflicts. Many people have different ways of seeing things. So how can we become just a little bit more curious to the perspectives of others maybe withholding judgment and becoming more curious and notice what happens when you do. And if you can't be curious because the topic is just really too challenging or difficult and you really want to fire something back to the other person because you're angry, maybe consider, is what I'm about to say really necessary? Consider, if I say what's in my mind right now, is the other person in a position to really be able to receive and understand what I'm saying? Will it make a difference? And lastly, can I say it in a way that is kind, that's respectful? Many times it can help us to go and reflect on what others have said that is upsetting to us, so that we can really think things through, maybe even write it out and get clear on how we feel, and then go to the person and share our perspective when our temperature or our emotional self isn't so high that we can easily become hijacked and go into that kind of tunnel vision. This is what mindfulness can do, really, to bring a sense of better communication so that we're not getting hijacked into that fight, flight, freeze mode that we can get into so easily. So I hope that you all have found this teaching helpful, because I love teaching mindfulness and I appreciate all of the kind messages and reviews that you all have left for the podcast. I would love for the show to become more interactive, but in order to do that, I need questions from you. So please send me your questions. You can do that by emailing me at jude@akeenmind.com. Or if you have the Anchor FM app, you can record a voicemail directly to the podcast that could be aired on a future episode. Now, you can tell me when you leave the voicemail, if you don't want it aired, I won't air your question. But if you don't indicate that, I may include it on a future show, because your questions are important and they can help other people understand a little bit more about mindfulness and meditation. And I guarantee if you're thinking that your question is unimportant, I guarantee someone else has the same question. Let's now transition into a guided meditation. Let's begin by taking a position that is comfortable yet alert and awake. You may wish to allow the eyes to close or even just soften your gaze, beginning to notice where your body is making contact with the surface beneath you. Noticing gravity act on the body holding you here. Just becoming curious about the constellation of sensations that you can detect in the body as you sit, lie, or stand. And just seeing if you can make space and room for the body to be just as it is. Perhaps allowing the body to soften to any degree possible without forcing or trying to make anything special happen. Seeing if it's possible for you to be fully present in this moment, letting all the senses be awake, knowing that you don't have to experience anything in particular. There are no right or wrong experiences. There's rather just noticing how your experience is moment to moment. See if it's possible to put out a welcome mat to all of your experiences, knowing that if something is too much or too difficult, you can always back off. You can always stop and do this another time. But if you can be with what is present, see if you can be curious, softening the body,
letting go of any expectations of how it's supposed to be. Letting go of problem solving. And simply noticing when the mind tends to try to problem solve or figure out. As you gently, kindly invite yourself back to being present with this breath, with this body, with the instruction for the moment. You may now begin to just witness breathing, noticing where you can detect your breath most easily. The nostrils, back of the throat, chest, belly. Just noticing this breath flow in, noticing this breath flow out. Is it possible to notice the very beginning of the in-breath and the very beginning of the out-breath? Perhaps you may be aware of the very end of the in-breath and the very end of the out-breath. As you remain curious about breathing, watching it flow in, watching it flow out. Being with the full experience of breathing. Seeing if you can stay with the entirety of the in-breath as well as the out-breath. Not having to control the breath or manipulate it in any way. Not having to think about whether you're breathing right. Just observing this breath flow in and out. The soft touch of the breath. Simply noticing what arises in your awareness when the intention doesn't want to be with breathing. Where does the attention go? To a thought, a sensation, a feeling, an image that arises in the mind? Simply acknowledge where the attention goes without resisting, remembering to place this welcome mat out for all the experiences. And then simply inviting yourself to come back into the presence of breathing. Feeling this breath, watching this breath. And to expand a little bit further to include not just where you can sense the breath, but to sense this body as a whole breathing, so that we're getting a sense of the body expand as we breathe in, watching the chest rise, the belly expand, the lungs filling with oxygen as we breathe in. And then watching as we breathe out, the chest drop, the belly drop, the body begins to deflate and let go. Seeing if you can let go, let be, letting this moment be just as it is, as you observe this breath flowing in and out of this body. Watching the body receive the breath and fill with a sense of aliveness. And then watching the body let go, let be. seeing if you can allow the out-breath to just carry away any unnecessary tension or tightness that the body may be holding, but without forcing or pushing anything away. As you're gently, kindly invited to move awareness to the oval of the face, the skin of your face, be curious, what are you able to sense or feel here? Maybe a sense of warmth, tightness, tension, coolness. Whatever you observe, allow these experiences to be here as you soften into what is present. Perhaps allowing the face to be expressionless, at ease. Softening the brow, the forehead, letting it be smooth. Noticing the eyebrows, letting them be. Observing the eye sockets, noticing what you can detect here. Noticing the eyes, the eyelids. Letting them be soft and at ease. As we gently, kindly draw awareness downward, as we begin to notice the cheeks, cheekbones, and just below the jaw, the muscles of the jaw, allowing the muscles to unhinge here in the jaw. Gently, kindly moving awareness now to the tongue resting in the mouth, seeing if you can allow it to just be at rest as it is. Noticing teeth, gums, inner lips, outer lips, letting the experience be. As we gently, kindly draw awareness down into the space of the shoulders, letting the shoulders drop a bit away from the ears, to see if it's possible to sense and feel them from the inside out, softening, letting be. And then gently moving awareness from the space of the shoulders all the way down into the hands as you notice how they're resting. Perhaps allowing them to be open, receptive, at ease. Noticing the fingers and the fingertips, knuckles, bones, palms. Just being curious, what are you able to feel here? And then gently moving awareness to what's brought you here. What really, really matters? What's important? To be happy, peaceful, safe, loved, free. Whisper this intention to yourself in your mind. May I be, may I feel, and fill in the blank or blanks that make sense for you. You can think of your intention to be like a stone that you drop into a well, going deep into the water, so that each time you come back to look for your intention, it might be something new. It might be something that's been at the bottom of the well for a while that keeps coming back, reminding you of what matters. And knowing that if nothing arises, there's no need to judge or criticize. You can just rest with breathing. As we gently, kindly let go of these intentions and just rest with the breath. Resting with the breath as we see if it's possible to allow our awareness to take on qualities that are kind, friendly, and accommodating to ourselves. Really having this deep intention to be self-compassionate. To whisper to yourself in your mind, if you will, may I have compassion and understanding for myself just as I am. May I have compassion and understanding for myself just as I am. May I be free of pain and suffering, even though there's pain and suffering. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be safe and protected from all inner and outer harm. May I live a life of joy and ease. May I be happy. You're invited now to just wish yourself well one more time, using language, using words that seem to fit for you. May I be, may I feel. Fill in the blank or blanks. Now gently moving attention to simply listening as I offer a quote by Viktor Frankl. He says, man does not simply exist, but always decides what his existence will be, what he will become the next moment. By the same token, every human being has the freedom to change at any instant. You all can give yourself the gift now of coming out of the meditation softly and gently. Bringing movement back into the body, allowing the eyes to open. And bringing this sense of mindful attention and awareness into the rest of your day, your evening, whenever you may be listening. Remembering to slow down, to ask yourself if your response to someone else is curious, is it kind, is it necessary, is it helpful? Thank you all so much for listening. Please subscribe to the show, provide me a rating so I know how I'm doing, and of course, send me your questions. Until next time, take care.